It's time for Twig This Week in Google, a really special episode. Jeff and Gina are here in studio. We've got three pixels all in a row, and we're going to tell you everything that happened in our analysis, too, of the Google I.O. keynote. It's next on Twig.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twig.
Bandwidth for This Week in Google is provided by CacheFly, CacheFly.com.
This is Twig, This Week in Google, episode 198, recorded May 15th, 2013. Google I.O. 2013. This Week in Google is brought to you by Shutterstock.com. With over 20 million high-quality stock photos, illustrations, vectors, and video clips, Shutterstock helps you take your creative projects to the next level. For 30% off your new account, go to Shutterstock.com and use the offer code TWIG5. And by Hover.com. Hover is the reliable domain name registration and management service that's simple, honest, and easy to use. For exceptional customer support and 10% off your new domain name, go to hover.com/twig and use the offer code TWIG. And by LegalZoom.com. LegalZoom's not a law firm, but provides self-help services at your direction, such as affordable business and personal documents you can trust. Visit LegalZoom.com and use the offer code TWIG to receive $10 off at checkout. It's time for Twig This Week in Google, and what a day it is. This is kind of an unusual Twig. We're doing it a little bit later in the day to give us time to watch a 18-hour keynote speech. Felt that way, anyway. Pretty long speech. But joining me in studio, and it's so nice to have them both with me, Gina Trapani, hey. SmarterWare.org.
It's so great to be here.
Oh, okay, that's
lovely. And in person.
We drove up together in a small car, so we already had our group.
Boy, are my knees tired.
And it's Jeff Jarvis from Buzz Machine. And we were in the room during that long keynote. Do we have a final time on the keynote?
Three and a half.
It started smack dab on time at 9 a.m.
Yeah, with a countdown.
There was a countdown on the
screen.
Yeah,
developers flipping out.
You know, with developers, you want to be precise.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So,
it's like Times Square for developers.
And it went to sometime after noon, so it was at least three plus
hours.
It
was at least 3 hours. I feel like it was
longer than the director's cut of The Hobbit.
It was supposed to be over at 11:40. It was over about 12:30.
You know, and I don't mind because I have to say, well, before you say, what overall impression, not specifics, but just overall impression. How about you, Jeff?
One has to be a little careful of being in the mood of the place, but still, I thought it was impressive. I'm not a developer, but I could see a lot was aimed at developers. That's happy. So it wasn't a hardware wowie zowie. I was really struck at the end with Larry, I think, was trying to take on the mantle of Steve Jobs.
It was quite a moment at the end with Larry.
It was.
Standing up in front of the world, going behind him. It was a little much there. But fine, it was beautiful. And he was talking about the future.
It was a little Patton-esque.
Yes, it was.
To be honest.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
You soldiers, you boys, you're going out there. Okay, your overall thoughts about it.
A lot more subdued than last year, but enough developer goodies to get me kind of really happy and excited. I mean,
it is a developer conference.
Truly a developer conference this year. It wasn't a circus like last year. There weren't skydivers. There weren't tons of new products. They didn't ply us with tons of new gadgets.
Right.
I wasn't really upset about that. It was slow and steady, but really nice upgrades and new tools and things that we'll talk about, both for consumers and developers. Mm-hmm. But kicked off with the developer goodies. Which made me really happy, and the energy in the room was good, and then went into consumer, I think, you know, features that we're getting today that are impressive and I like. Subdued, but slow and steady, and I'm generally happy with it. I thought it was a good lot of
attention always paid to the giveaways at Google I.O. Last year, they gave away about $1,200 worth of goodies, including a Google Q, a Chrome box.
Nexus Q, Chrome box, and the Nexus 7. Yeah.
This time only one item, but an item worth more than all three of them combined.
That's true. But an item that's out, right? That's been out, right? I mean, it's interesting.
They said they want to encourage developers to use it and to build to Chrome, and I think that's why.
The developers were happy. By the way, we should say there were about 5,000 developers in the room. We estimated maybe 500 press, maybe more.
Plus other kinds of partners.
And then in the front, they called them IOers. And I think that they were Google employees. This is what Apple always did. They would make sure that there were Google employees in front. Because those are the people who are going to applaud the loudest. They're going to be seen on screen. I don't know if that's the case, but they were reserved seats for the first maybe 10 rows.
And then there's an entire section for Scoble's ego. Sorry.
Robert Scoble made an appearance of all things at the end. Larry Page. This has happened before in other keynotes, but it's not common. But I think because Larry hasn't been heard from in a long time due
did
to
he
his
ever answer questions
lung paralysis. Keynote? Steve Jobs?
No. Larry.
Larry, I don't think so. Steve has. I can remember times when the Apple executive team has gone on stage after a keynote and answered questions. But those were for press only. This is a little different. There's, you know, letting developers ask questions could be a little risky. But Larry, I don't think he hadn't spoken and seen in public in a long time.
You were trying to say about his throat that he talked about yesterday.
He had a paralyzed vocal cords from youth.
From youth and then one recently. And that's why he was silent and silent about it for so long. And as Mr. Publicness, I was very happy that he said that he was he wished he'd revealed this sooner because he's gotten all kinds of good advice and support and helped other people. And as you said, when we were sitting there in the audience, folks like us who have insurance can afford to do these kinds of things are the ones who probably are the best in the best positions to be public.
Yeah. I thought it was let's start with the end, and because that's not a feature. Yeah. We're not talking about features. We're talking about really more of a kind of a vibe, a gestalt of the whole thing. I was really kind of moved by Larry going up there. I felt like he wanted to come on stage not only to be seen, but also to set the stage for to kind of clarify something about what Google was up to.
Yeah, I think that he had to give – this was the vision speech, all appropriate to be behind the Earth and all of space.
He's standing in front of a rotating globe. Now, on the screen at home, you only saw a little bit.
Gigantic.
But in the theater, it was Patton-esque.
Very impressive.
It was
impressive.
It was the dark side of the Earth, right, with the lights on.
It was beautiful.
You could see the lights.
The sun just barely behind.
An image from the new Google Maps.
Which
was just magnificent. And so he stands there, and what he's really doing is giving the vision statement for Google and why they're excited, why they come in and build things. And you know, as somebody who gets smashed all the time for being an optimist, what I like too is he said that there was enough of, in a couple ways, enough of being negative. You don't build out of the negative. You build out of the positive.
Image.
You build out of trying to do that. Then he also went on talking about other companies that were a little negative, but that was a different question.
Yeah, one thing I would point out, you know, he slammed Oracle, saying they're only in it for the money.
Yeah, money's more important than collaboration and cooperation.
Yeah. He, by extension, slammed Microsoft and other companies who have sued them in the past. But he also, I think he felt like, he said it's not a zero-sum game.
Right.
It's not a win, we lose, we win, you lose game.
Right.
And there's plenty for all of us. And he really said that what we're about here is not making money. We're about changing the world.
Yeah, he's trying to rally the troops. He's saying there's tons of opportunities that you should try to build something that hasn't been built already, that we look back to the olden days when people spent all their time, you know, hunting for food and trying to feed their family. We don't have to do that anymore. Now we can free ourselves up to do new things. And I think that was his message to developers. Try to do something new. Be ambitious. You know, that whole kind of, you know, the moonshot kind of... you know, urging.
He said, "We're not thinking about what other companies are doing.
Right.
We're thinking about what we can do to advance the future."
Right. And he said, "There's enough for everybody. Interoperability is important to Google." He said that Google, you know, put out an invitation to be interoperable with IM recently, and Microsoft only recently kind of took them up on that. And it was important that there was this collaboration.
I have to point out, and I don't want to be negative, because he said, let's be positive.
Well, there's a difference between constructive criticism and negativity.
And I think we can't lose our critical faculties. And I think
certainly.
A CEO of a company would say, hey, stop being so critical of our stuff, just like it. But I also feel like I'd love to hear, and I would have loved to have asked a question. If Scoble had given me a moment, I would have. I would have loved to... We'll explain that in a minute. I would have loved to have asked him, but Larry, for instance, when you turned off support for Microsoft's EAS, when you told Microsoft to pull the YouTube application from Windows Mobile, when you did – he's done things like that. Did you not see that as anti-competitive? Was that not a competitive move?
I mean
– do you pay a little attention to what the other guys are doing?
Yeah, I mean, it's a fair point. It's a fair point.
They've limited – as a matter of fact, they've limited third-party Jabber invitations.
I thought they fixed that.
Have they fixed it?
Yeah, I thought that they did fix it. I thought that was a temporary security chat room. You should correct me if I'm wrong.
The other thing
Google certainly made moves that have been questionable. You know, I don't think that.
But I like what he was saying, and I think maybe it's aspirational quote. But I like the idea of let's not fight among each other. Let's compete if we're going to compete to try to all make the best stuff we can.
But I think he's also talking about. government regulation and such. And he was kind of saying we should be able to experiment. I mean, somebody said
he wanted an island. He said, let's make an island.
Let's make an island where we can experiment with things, which is us. We all say, fine, experiment with us. We're happy to. Let's play with this stuff. And that kind of negativity of, oh, my God, what can go wrong? It's terrible. But back to the anti-competitive point, I think that the risk today is that we were starting to count up all the companies that maybe died today.
Yeah.
You know? They call it Sherlocking because Apple, very famously, when they put Spotlight Search into the Macintosh, killed a very beautiful little search company, a little search program called Sherlock.
Right.
So there were quite a few apps that might be partially Sherlocked as of today. Right. Foursquare, Yelp.
Pandora.
Siri is committing seppuku.
God damn it.
He's trying to get my Pixel one way or the other.
I did it again. You know, I'm not drunk enough.
I don't feel so bad, but
Gina and I have now spilled. We're going to use tippy cups from now on. Did I get your Pixel? I'm so sorry. So, I think it's a... If Larry wants to say, this is an aspirational vision, let's kind of forego the negativity. You made a point. It's also about government.
Yeah, it's also about just saying, oh, my God, what could go wrong? What could go wrong? Let's try these things. And, you know, in his own story about his health, he kind of realized, he said that he thought this should be private. That's where he started as a default, but he saw the value of being public about it.
It felt very personal. I mean, he started out talking about his dad and how his dad took them on a trip and supported technology and science and was very interested in those things.
Yeah, I really like that. He's so focused on young people. He said computer science is a marketing problem, and then if we're going to move ahead, we have to get more young people interested in science and technology. And he told that story about his dad, how his dad brought him to a robotics conference and argued with the guy at the door to get him in, even though he was underage. And that how basically putting a call out to developers saying, be that person who argues for that young person to get in. And even during the Q&A, which of course piqued my interest, someone asked about women in technology. And he said, we have to start when they're girls, when they're young, and that we need to do that because we need more people solving these problems.
Yep. I really have to say, I mean, when you see somebody who's been ill, and his voice was a little shaky, so he sounded ill. It's inevitable to say that. Look at the echo of Steve Jobs here, and people were starting to compare him, at least in our chat room, to Steve Jobs. But I think this is not. While Steve was a visionary, a lot of what Steve was about was marketing, productizing.
Yes.
I don't get the feeling that Larry was really going on about that.
He wasn't pushing Google products. He wasn't trying to do that. He came out after the whole hype. He wasn't the hype master.
He did review what we'd seen.
I think what he saw was, I think, a need for vision in our industry.
Here's a cup that I can't
see. Leo's sippy cup. bring the bib over too, please.
Yeah, I need a lobster bib.
So I think that there's a need for vision in this industry, and if he tries to take that up, he's been too silent, not just because of his voice, but too. We don't hear from Larry. Larry's hidden behind the scenes, and I think this was a coming out party that was very important because he is really smart. He does have a vision. The company Google, we've said this on the show for the last year and a half, has been taking on his vision. He's been killing the things that don't work. You see the sense coming out. You know, when you see the fact that Gina and I look at each other during the thing, and the fact that it knows what your good pictures are is the same as knowing what good pictures are overall for maps. I mean, that you start
that
to see these threads.
That was amazing, yeah.
That was amazing. The picture thing was amazing.
He also did... There were a few things that I thought I also found interesting. No Eric Schmidt, no Sergey Brin, who was very prominent last year at the keynote. And he said... Larry said... Somebody asked him about Google Glass and how many they were going to produce. He said, I don't know. That's Sergey's thing.
Right.
Sergey does atoms.
He says, Sergey does atoms. I do bits. And I really felt like...
That was an interesting, succinct
It was
way
Larry's
to,
company, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
The show.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We didn't see many atoms. There were no giveaways. We didn't see a new Nexus phone. There was no hardware announcement.
No new
announcement.
Nexus 7. Yeah. Yeah.
There's
this new Samsung, but you can buy it in the Play Store in a month. You know.
And there was literally a one-minute announcement.
Yep.
And that was it.
Yep.
I think this is Larry continuing to step forward and putting his... mark on this company and kind of setting a tone for the company.
I think you're quite right.
About where he wants it to be. And I, for one, am excited. Now, I think a lot of people are going to look at this, and I was watching the chat room very interestingly, with great interest as we were talking. I think a lot of people look at Google and say, oh, no. But there was so much cynicism in the chat room. You see, they're just gathering more information, just trying to find out more about us. They're trying to spy on us. They're trying to track us. And I think that we're rapidly seeing a gulf, a division between people like, say, Steve Gibson, who say, you know, you got to protect your privacy. I don't want anybody to know this stuff. And those of us maybe more like you, Jeff, who say, I want to give you my information because I got some real value out of this. Google Now is a great example.
You know, I so regretted not jumping up and getting in front of those microphones as fast as Robert Scoble did. Because if I could ask Larry, and it took me some time to think about it, if I could ask him anything, the question would be, why should users trust Google with their data?
That's the question.
Why should we trust you? Tell me.
Right, because what he's done
is...
Not in a cynical
way.
I wish you'd ask.
Yeah, I mean, because that's what, you know...
That's the question.
Yeah, that's the question.
It is, and there's two answers. There's two halves to the answer, right? The first half they've answered is because we're giving you value in return.
Yes.
They answered that in spades.
Yeah, that's clear.
The next part of it is they've got to clearly be a protector. Now, he was asked about a little bit of that, a kind of security question more, but Google has to become... It goes to do no evil. They don't be evil.
Yeah.
It goes to saying that this we must trust Google or Google is screwed and so are we.
I think he knows that. I mean, I think that's...
He's got to say it more.
Yeah.
He's got to find the ways to say...
More than say it. He's got to do it.
Exactly.
He's got to demonstrate this.
Yeah.
I think Google takeout is an example.
What would be an example of a way that Google could clearly demonstrate
that? I think
that
the transparency report is a step in the direction of saying, look... We know a lot about you. We also know the governments want to know what we know about you. And look how we fight for you. Except they don't.
Right.
So they need to step up a little bit more there. They're being transparent, but they really also need to block more government requests.
Yes, yes. Well, and here's the other thing, too, is we see, you know, and obviously I'm a Google fanboy, but I've been most critical of them when they came to their devil's deal with Verizon over net neutrality. And then today in the music thing that we'll talk about, the fact that they're charging $120 a year for their music service means to me that Hollywood, there were just, I said before they've sucked up to Verizon and telcos, now they were sucking up to Hollywood. Mm.
Well, I see that with YouTube, too. They're
and that's
very
a
much
question,
sucking up
exactly.
to Hollywood.
And so that's a question of whom do we trust in that?
Right.
Are they there truly to fight for us or not? They've got to demonstrate they are. They've got to give up some business because they did.
So do you believe, Larry, now... that we're in it to change the world, to make the world a better place, to facilitate this trans... He began, you know, 100 years ago or 1,000 years ago, we were all farmers or hunters. Now, you know, we're doing other things, and we want to facilitate that. We want to use technology not for itself, but to let you live a better life.
You think that's contrast him with Zuckerberg, and I think that Larry's test is easier. Zuck says... it's better if we're all public. And by the way, I'm going to make a fortune off of making you public. And I don't think it's as cynical as that, but it's very easy to see him as cynical. What Larry said today was, the less time we spend doing crap,
right,
the more time we can do good things in life.
Right.
I absolutely believe that he believes
live,
that.
Love, and learn.
Live, love, and learn.
Where's the
so
love?
Cheesy. You're right. That's what Vic said. Live, love, and learn. And it was very cheesy, super cheesy.
It was.
But it was also like straight-faced earnest. Like we
Steve
have more
Jobs
time.
Said, Apple sits at the intersection of science and the arts, of technology and the arts. And that's kind of what they're saying is, we are not a technology company. We're using technology to help you live, love, and learn.
We're a knowledge company, technology and knowledge company.
Yeah,
and Facebook thinks it's a technology and sociology company. And Twitter, I don't know what it is.
I feel like we're seeing the beginnings of a new Google. And one thing, as we were walking out, we ran into Brad Fitzpatrick, who is big part of Google Plus, right?
Bradley Horowitz.
Bradley Horowitz, I'm sorry. Yeah, Fitzpatrick Bradley. Is takeout. Bradley Horowitz was there. And one of the things I said to him, and I was curious if he would agree with this, is it feels to me as if Google has been building this foundation for 10 years, disparate parts that to those of us on the outside, we maybe didn't see how they all fit together. But I feel like we're starting to see, when we start looking at these new applications, I think you'll agree, the outlines of the edifice.
Yes, yes.
And that and this is, I think, where Google is going to have a huge head start. Because as soon as Apple or another company says Maps and starts to do it, they realize, but we haven't been doing this for 5 years, and Google has. And while we weren't paying attention, Google was building this foundation in so many areas.
Right. So even mobile fits into the structure, right? Mobile means that we know about you locally, we serve you relevance, blah, 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 blah. And the other thing that really struck me today was it's still a search company. The excitement, I'm sorry, who's the head of search?
You know.
Nice man.
Amit Singhal.
Singhal.
Uh-huh.
You know, he was even probably the most, even more than Vic, he was the most gushy.
Yeah.
About, you know, I got to build Star Trek Search.
Yeah.
Very personal.
Showing his three-year-old picture.
Mm-hmm. But what it was also saying was, this is very much a search company. We are moving to the next generation of search. You ain't seen nothing from us yet.
Yeah. Search. What was the phrase that he used? Search is old hat, or it was something.
End of search as we know it.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah,
for a company that is a search company, that's a big statement.
Yes. Yep.
F and Dunn in our chat room said Google Education Play for Education is very important too. Yep. We are going to talk about Google Plus Play for Education, the new maps, the new mobile. There's a lot of new stuff to talk about.
New developer tools.
And developer tools. Gina will talk about that too. IntelliJ. Whatever the hell that is. In just a moment. You're watching This Week in Google, the post Google I.O. Conversation, and really a fascinating Google I.O. for all its length. And, you know, when Larry started answering questions, that was another, I don't know, half hour, 45 minutes. And Robert Scoble leaps to the front, the first to ask a question. We figured he must have seen the microphone and actually camped out there the entire keynote.
That's the way he thinks.
To be the first in line. but I think there was absolutely a message throughout this whole Google I.O. And that was, I think we're seeing Google coming. It was a coming out party.
Yes, it was.
This was truly
Larry's company now. Yep. And we're starting to see his vision now. And that's the message to the world, I think.
We'll talk more in just a little bit about Google with Jeff Jarvis, Gina Trapani. Thank you for being here on This Week in Google. Our show today brought to you by Shutterstock.com. Man, Shutterstock is a great place to get stock photos, illustrations, vectors, video clips. There's so many things to like about Shutterstock. First of all, 20 million high-quality stock photos there, and many, many more all the time. So it's always growing. It's always new. Where's the number? I think they wrote it down here of how many new images.
10,000 a day.
10,000 a day. You're good. Look at that. She scanned right there.
Shutterstock.
Every day, 10,000 new images. The thing I like is the search. This is a very sophisticated search tool. It's not just a keyword search. You could search for emotions. You could search for gender. You can even drill down by color. This spectrum wheel they have, the spectrum tool, lets you sort images by color spectrum. Not only a great way to find an image that you need to match your palette, but also to get inspiration and ideas, and that's where the light boxes come in. Now, you've got to create a Shutterstock account to use the light box, but it's free to do so. You don't need a credit card. Once you do, you can start saving images to various light boxes. A great way to work with a team to share ideas, to get inspiration. It's even more beautiful. We're using it in the browser, but you got to try the iPad app. If you have an iPad, download the Shutterstock app. It's free. And it's actually just beautiful. They won a Webby Award. I mean, it is truly gorgeous. A global company with offices all over the world, including Germany, China, Italy, Brazil, Belgium, and dedicated corporate reps in each of those countries, full-time customer support all day, all week. I think you're going to love Shutterstock. I want you to visit it. Look at what did you search for? That's pretty.
Vintage.
That's kind of cool.
Very nice.
Again, even just for inspiration, whether you're going to use these images or not, it's for the inspiration. I think it's great. If you're a designer, if you need images, if you're a blogger, you should have an image in every post. And Shutterstock makes it easy. They have a variety of packages. You can subscribe you can buy a bundle, or I have a 25 image a day subscription, which is great for a publisher. You just say, I need images. You can download any image in any size, pay only one price. I just think this is fabulous. Try it, and you can get a great deal when you use our offer code TWIG5. When you sign up and you start making your purchases, use that offer code for 30% off your first purchase on a new account. 30% off any package. Shutterstock.com, the offer code TWIG5, 5 for the month of May. And we thank Shutterstock for their support. This Week in Google. All right, we can start going through stuff. You said something about the Sherlocking of these apps. I think what was interesting, unlike last year's keynote where there were little snide jabs at iOS and everybody else, there were no real jabs till the end, and Larry got a jab in again about Oracle. And
well, there was the photo resolution.
But you know who I thought, and the word didn't come up, but I thought all of this was a little jab at Facebook in a sense, especially the photo stuff. Facebook now stores more photos than anybody else. They're the number one place people put photos. And I think this is Google saying, if we're going to have Google Plus take off, we need to. And it integrates through Maps because they use the images in Maps, right?
It integrates through your phone because the photos go up there straight off the
map. All my images are up
there
now.
They made a big deal of this, storing full resolution rather than these smaller things.
50 gigabytes of full resolution.
For posterity, you want this to go on. I think one of the themes today was that things last. The conversation is too ethereal online, right? Twitter goes off into the ether. Google Plus has kind of blogs doing what they sort of talked about it in terms of conversations lasting and your photos lasting.
Mm-hmm.
Google sees itself as a permanent part of your life.
So I've got my Pixel fired up. This is the new, and I just logged into my Google Plus, and here's the tour of the new Google Plus. It says navigate around Google Plus. Go here to visit your profile, manage photos, communities, and more. Okay, we know about that. Bring conversations to life with Hangouts, new Hangouts. New Hangouts app on Android, by the way.
And
which
iOS, I think.
Replaces Talk as well as iOS?
I believe
okay.
so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Send messages, share photos, and make video calls for free. One-on-one or with a group of friends. Now group video calling is free even on the phone, which is really interesting. And then make your photos look better than ever, as you mentioned.
That was unbelievable.
New tools. We'll show some of those new tools that can back up, organize, and the enhanced tool. We've seen enhanced tools before. One-click enhance. iPhoto has it. Picasa has it.
Yeah, it's like I'm feeling lucky. And
better.
This seemed way better. Like scary better.
I feel like Trey Radcliffe had a little influence on this.
I was expecting Trey to come out on stage.
So I was. I totally was.
Yeah.
So let me go to Google, the home on Google Plus, and the new layout is very much a kind of Pinteresty layout. You remember I complained about the empty gutter on the right of Google Plus
and the
misuse of space. Let me make sure I'm showing this optimally. I guess that's it. So now there we go. It finally filled up the screen. So there's no waste of space anymore, right? This is a Pinterest kind of thing. Look at the size of that image of Pete Cashmore.
Ain't he happy?
He's happy about that. Success Magazine he's featured in. They mentioned if there's a picture of Paris, it'll know that, or the Eiffel Tower, it'll know it's the Eiffel Tower, and you can... How would I do that? Let's see if I can find a picture.
Search for Eiffel Tower, and then you'll find
it. It seemed like I could do that from within a picture, right?
It'll recognize it.
I could just...
places.
Yeah. Anyway, what do you think of the new layout? I like this. To me, this is a much better use of the space.
Yeah, yeah. It's clean. It's got that Google Now, that card look.
Mm-hmm.
It looks responsive and that the columns kind of fill in. I have to say that I was pretty used to a single stream, and now my eye is going horizontally versus just straight down. But they talked about this. The new design was about depth. So if you can click on one of those cards and it'll flip around. And each one of the updates gets auto hashtagged as well.
Right,
that's
which
kind of interesting.
Which is kind of weird because when I talked to the folks at Delicious when they started Delicious, they said, "No, you don't want to do that. You want hashtags to be humanly entered because then you get
Chad's got it better than me." So what are the choices? There's this automatic hashtag. There's the flip around. It's so strange. We're running this on these Chromebook Pixels, and for Gina and me using the stock Chromebook. It says your browser's not compatible.
Oh, that was Maps.
You saw I was having trouble with mine as well on that.
Yeah.
So, okay, I'm puzzled. So what did you do, Chad? You clicked the down arrow in the upper right-hand corner.
Right, no, so when I, yeah, so you can hit
and
the down arrow.
And then it has tags, suggested tags. Things.
But if there is something like this, Droid Life, let me manually zoom in on it here.
Okay.
They have suggested a tab, so they have Android, because
they
Droid
put
Life
tags
is talking about Hangout.
Right.
And so if I click the Android tab, it will flip over. And
that one card becomes an Android search.
Right. Yeah. And so now, now at the bottom, there are these little dots which show you how many articles you can flip through, which you flip through at the top.
I got to point out, this would be a lot better with touch.
It would. It would. And in fact, if I could flip this over, my initial reaction was to use the two-finger scroll, which is available on a Mac, to try to get to the next... app or next card, I should say.
Isn't that interesting?
Here's the one I'm not getting.
That's Washington Square.
But I hit that. I don't get the.
You don't get it. So
because I thought it would recognize the Washington Square.
Right. That was really cool. Right. They showed somebody
no,
the Eiffel Tower.
I click on that. I don't get the tags. I get that.
Right. Well, maybe it didn't recognize Washington Square Park. Did you ever think of that? Right. I think this is nice. I like this, and I think
showed up in my feed.
Somebody's taking pictures. Who are you, and what are you doing?
I don't think I'm following this person, but it knew.
Why did it show up in your feed?
Oh, this is because this is the Twig community.
So, okay, good. So you posted that to the Twig community.
Correct. But now this does not, Google cannot pull any information from here. So there's no hashtag for me to click on and flip this card over. So you can stump it, but... There's a lot of, like, this one is hashtagged beer.
And now we're going to see a lot of beer.
Right.
I think this is pretty novel. I think this is interesting. Show when you post. Actually, I guess I could do that. If I post here, doesn't this slide? Yeah, okay. Well, let me go back.
Well, that's sorry. Schmancy.
Schmancy. It's the little day Jaxy, so I'll cancel that. But here's share what's new. So I click that, and it kind of expands out. I think this is nice.
The killing thing that I thought that Vic said from my perspective is he said that social streams are flat like newspapers.
Ouch.
He's right.
I hate to say it, but this is a magazine layout.
Well, not only that, but then the fact that there's depth behind each post potentially. That there's smarts
neat.
On top of it and there's a categorization on top of it and that the conversations keep going.
Now, you're not stuck. If you hate this, you can go back, I think, I understand, to the columnized display. You don't have to. But I personally like this. And given the success Pinterest has had, I think this is probably the right way to do it, right? Is this Web 3.0? Sharpie says he's calling it Web 3.0.
It's pretty.
The interactive web. It's very pretty. This is all HTML5, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of flashy, flippy, you know, moving around. But I
don't want to go too far here. I mean, it also reminds me a little bit of Facebook's latest redesign.
Yep. The newsfeed.
Yep.
It's less cluttered.
Yeah.
Facebook has all sorts of little gadgets and doodads and ads all over that page that are missing on this page. I think this is pretty nice.
One more sort of
there aren't
funny
any
thing.
Ads on there, are there? Do you see any ads? I don't see any ads.
If there are, they are so cleverly hidden, I can't tell.
Well, you know,
what's funny is once you get to the end of your card, it relates hashtags.
Oh, and you were interested through Glass, you might be interested in.
Right. And it's almost funny because you could find some comedy bits.
SNL.
Wow. is a hashtag.
Love that.
Now then, that also brings
Peacock.
Up a point of what if you post content and then it gets unwillingly tagged to some other sort of.
Sorry, welcome to the World Wide Web.
And that might be some
can't control
a feature you don't
want.
Are. Yeah.
In terms of, you know.
Yeah, hashtag bigotry or hashtag something
people
like that.
People make associations, right? So
yeah.
Google's just doing what people do. You can't control that. So that's the new Google Plus. Here's why there's no ads. This is, probably never be ads on this. This is all about getting information and
they will charge
signals.
Companies, I think, to create their better positions within Google Plus, their own positions.
Maybe the brands.
The brands have their own brand positions and they'll be charged something for something, I think, there.
But ultimately what they're getting people to do is put stuff into Google, to use
it's
Google.
Data.
It's data. There's value to this. Google's getting value out of it.
They're getting value on all kinds of levels, right? They're learning more about you and your interests. They're knowing who you're connected with and what they're interested in. They're learning more about content and what content has value to people.
Right.
And that all has value to Google if you're set up to do that. And I would argue with newspapers that they've got to start to learn people, as individuals, not masses. But they're nowhere.
She's looking at pictures of her baby.
I'm sorry. I
don't blame you.
I was testing.
Been a long way.
I was testing auto enhance.
Yeah, really.
So let's see.
So the tools now are already in there for the photo tools.
Okay. Yeah. There was an enhance button in there.
They're subtle.
I'm sorry, you all can't see my
it's
screen.
Subtle.
But yeah, it's subtle.
It's a great picture.
Yeah,
it is adorable.
Yeah. Cheers. Thank you.
I said something to Bradley Horowitz. I said, you know what I really want, Bradley? You know how Facebook Home takes over the Android page? I would love to see Google Plus have a little bit more prominence on the front page. He raised his eyebrow. He looked at the other guy and winked. Pretty much gave me the thumbs
up. What you said was.
And he said, we'll make it better.
Yeah, you said, I want to have a Facebook Home, and he said, I'll make it better.
Yeah.
Better than that, right.
So they're thinking along those lines, and of course they are. It makes perfect sense. Mm-hmm. It's not really a revelation.
Here's my daughter now.
Oh, 16 years old and
driving.
Just as cute. That's the scariest moment. Give them the keys of the car. That is a scary moment. All right. So there's Google Plus. Are you disappointed there's no Write API?
No.
You're not?
This is good enough.
At this point, I don't even want them to give us a Write API because you want to
get
live
ruined.
In, yeah, because you get people posting their tweets automatically.
Yeah.
I don't want that.
Yeah, I think you're right. I'm now to the point where I'm just convinced that they need to, in order to expand Google Plus, they need to do things like comment embedding and letting people interact in other places. I don't think that should be about getting people just dumping their content into
Google. Comment embedding is a great thing to do.
Yeah, I think that's a great thing. Yeah. So I feel like at this point, I've given up on the Write API. They obviously are not going to do it.
No.
You said that. You said that a few months ago, and I was
it'll trash
holding
it up.
On.
It'll
trash it up, and really, you know, we've all said. I mean, Google Plus is a great place for tech news, right? But our families and friends aren't quite on it yet.
Well, we were talking in the car. Is that that's the you know? When people think I hate Google Plus, and I actually don't. I love Google Plus, but nobody
aren't there.
Nobody I want to see my post. That's why there. Family isn't. My audience isn't.
My
nobody
son,
is.
My son Jake today said, "Wow, this really is impressive." But
I love
his
it.
Friends aren't there now. I have made new friends here.
Sure.
Right. Lauren Weinstein, I think, is an amazing guy in Google Plus. You know, I'm looking at it now. Tim O'Reilly is here a lot. There's people I know who are here a lot. And so I like that. I wish you guys
maybe
were
we
here
should,
more.
Well, I'm going to spend more time there. I like it.
I saw someone on Twitter said that they had to write a script that would upload all their photos to Google Plus, auto-enhance them, and then post them out to Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, where people would actually see
well,
them.
Well, let's talk about that, because one of the things...
What if they did a reverse API in that way? That I think they should actually use more promotion of Google Plus posts on the likes of Twitter and Facebook.
Put a big plus on that.
So that I can then draw people to Google Plus.
Right.
I would like that.
People
so that
were,
you could like tweet a post?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Write it on Google Plus and then tweet it. Mm-hmm. Twitter wouldn't like it, but
well, certainly there are ways to do that. There's plugins that'll do that, right?
Yeah.
Vic showed all his pictures from his trip.
Yeah, Vic really he kind of gave us a window into his life.
So many companies, even Google, solve problems that don't exist. I think Glass is an example of solving a problem that doesn't exist. But there is a problem that really exists with anybody who takes pictures, which is there's too many and you don't have time to go through them.
Right.
I still have pictures from my trip to Australia a year ago. They haven't gone through.
You haven't gone through and picked out the best ones, right? So Google's automated that.
Is it credible that they could do a good job of that?
I don't know. I got to see this to believe it. But they use certain criteria to sort out the highlights of your best pictures, which are pretty obvious, right? Blurry pictures they
focus,
tossed out.
Overexposed.
Right? They do facial recognition or people smiling.
That was interesting.
Which is amazing.
A good picture doesn't mean people are smiling, by the way.
But I agree.
But they're making a presumption about that. They also, right. they were as subtle as they could possibly be to say they're involving facial recognition as well. Because if you know your own family, they're going to emphasize that because they know who your family is or are.
And then it just creates this great page with your highlight pictures. And if you want to see the rest of them, they're still there. They're not gone.
Yeah, you can see the rest, right. So they weed out duplicates.
That solves a huge problem.
They also recognize landmarks and recognize your photo of the Eiffel Tower as if we needed one more, but fine. I think it's very important. And I tweeted at the time, I said, if Kodak weren't already dead, this would kill him. you know, if you thought,
but
10
it's
years
aimed
ago,
at
should,
Facebook. This is
be.
Aimed at Facebook because Facebook is the place people put their photos right now.
Yeah.
And they don't do anything this useful for them.
And
plus,
they
I have auto upload. Facebook has auto upload as well. By the way, I might point out with their app
because that's the key, Leo. Google sees itself as a service company. Facebook doesn't, right? So Google's trying to invent new services, and that, by the way, is the ethos that Marissa takes away with her to Yahoo. That's where the interesting war comes in.
Yep.
So I've just gone to my photo page. It says, what does that say? All your photos. I can barely read my screen.
Instantly organized. When you have a lot of photos, we'll start
those of you don't understand, Leo has put
the best.
His image on a monitor that's 6 feet away, and he's old.
I'm simulating Google Glass. when you have a lot of photos, we'll start you off with a few of the best. See photos from your... So these are pictures that I took on the Nexus 1 and
look,
the
Galaxy... Look at the movement down there. Lower right.
HTC One, yeah. That's because that's a Zoe from the HTC One.
Oh, you did that. Okay.
Means it was smart enough to preserve that. Okay. Add new photos. Yeah, blah, blah, blah. So this is giving me a little tour.
Right, so highlights.
Get an overview, explore new futures. So what's nice is it did pick pictures that I took from Google I.O. That's what these are. Decided which of the highlights are. Some of these are with the HTC One. Those are the Zoes, and that's why there's some movement in those. But what I also like is it made bigger a couple. Actually, two of the better images that I took.
It did.
I hate to say it, but
it also takes into
actually
account,
are the two better pictures.
Yeah, it takes into account aesthetics as well. So there's
has better taste than I do.
Yeah, there's blurriness, duplicates, affinity, people who you know, landmarks, but they also do aesthetics, which is like it'll try to recognize well composed photos, like photos that human beings consider attractive for whatever reason, and you'll notice that those two photos there at the top
they are much more attractive.
Are actually kind of artsy, you know, attractive photos.
Damn.
So those little animated gift deals, the Zoes, it will also do that, right? If you take several photos of someone that are very similar,
this is one of the things the HTC One falls short in a number of ways, mostly because HTC oversensified it. But the camera is spectacular. And it does these, and I usually do it by default, Zoes, which are 3 seconds, 20 images. There's a movie plus 20 images. And what I'm very pleased to see is that Google Plus got smart about the Zoes because it used to have 20 images.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's, I'm not sure what it's doing here, but it's obviously figured out that those are
Is it, it's a,
Zoes.
It's a GIF? A GIF?
No.
It's a,
it's a, makes a movie and, now that looks like a GIF, doesn't it? Because the frame rate's very low.
Yeah, the frame rate.
That's you and Stephen Levy, right?
Yeah, it's Jeff and Stephen.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, okay.
And there's a guy walking through the picture. They should have really gotten rid of that one.
So highlights looks pretty good. This is definitely something people
like
do. Vic was
Those
saying,
are
come
the two
home
best
from,
pictures.
From vacation.
And it also means you're going to take more pictures, and taking more pictures Google likes too.
Right. Yeah. Right, because you'd
more
have to do the work of curating them.
Yeah,
wow. So Google's doing the work of curating. And then there's Auto Enhance, which Vic showed us.
So these are the auto, Steven's saying these are the auto Google GIFs that I'm seeing. But I think they are from the Zoes. So it's
so
GIFifying
Google
a Zoe.
Is getting
it's making a Zoe
images,
out of
making,
mobile images.
Right.
Yeah.
This is the best picture. They really should have highlighted this one. I don't know. I don't understand. Wait a minute. Enhance your photo. Should I enhance this?
Sure.
All right.
Actually, that one
share with the right people.
This is where you're still on the tour.
So will it tag tour. Me? Tag people for quicker share. Oh, I have to tag you.
So I think it's in more auto enhance.
All right, let's see.
Which is strange.
More auto enhance. All right, get ready, ladies and gentlemen. In three, auto enhance, center, enhance, center, enhance. It's
a little crisper.
No, it's still doing it. Still working. Back up a little bit, and you can see the. There it is. Now it's done. Infinitely better.
Less wrinkles.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Boy, I've lost 10 years. My skin is smooth and soft. Huh. All right. And then I presume we can undo and so forth. Cool. And then, of course, I'd want to tag these. It says enhanced. That's nice. It's showing me that it was
showing
enhanced.
Showing that it did it?
Yeah.
So to tag them, it doesn't. Will it do recognition on you?
No. I have to tag them by hand, I think. I know. I mean, that's one of the... I'm sure they could.
Oh, you know they could.
But one of the things
it's
that they're
recognizing
so little
landmarks,
people are
they're recognizing
sensitive.
And
I could add this to an album.
Yeah, they made the point that they're recognizing human faces and that they vignette them and they soften skin and do red eye
reduction.
Red eye reduction and they vignette photos to put the emphasis on faces. So there's quite a bit of facial recognition going on.
So this is the highlights tab. That's a new tab. And then you can look at all photos, albums. What's under more here?
Auto backup. Oh, your
this is great. I have to say, this is pretty compelling. Given that I did not push a single button, I just took these images. I have Google Plus auto upload turned on.
Yep. And by the way, let's be clear, they're all private until you choose to share them.
Yeah, none of these are public. And that's one of the reasons I'm not scrolling down any lower. I have no
idea.
Don't show us what's going on.
I have no idea what happened yesterday, and I'm not sure. You know my history. It's probably best that I
would you share
the
one of the three of us, please?
Shall I share that?
Yeah, share that.
Well, let's see what that experience is like. So I'm going to go back here. I'm going to click the share button.
Scroll up, I think. Oh, there it is. Sorry.
Share this photo. Of course, only on Google Plus. Is that the tagging? Oh, that's who I know. But I don't have to do that because I know who you are. So if I put Gina plus Gina and then tab. No.
No, you just click
enter.
Enter? No, not enter. Really?
Yeah.
Really? Enter? Plus Gina. Let's do it again.
Plus
Gina. God damn it.
You didn't control.
Not minus plus.
I'm sorry about all the profanity. Now what?
Click? Enter.
Enter?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Plus Jeff. See, the kids these days, you really know how to use that social networking thing. And me at Google Google. And now it added, added that, which is, I think it always does that, doesn't it? Adds your name.
Yeah, in fact, it requires that. You cannot take them out. If you mention something, that person will see that you mentioned
them. Now I have to see that you mentioned. Well, this is nice. Chad, can you... I can't see...
Yeah, hit Control 0
again.
There we go. Because you...
I made it big.
Hit Control Plus, zoomed it in.
There we go.
There you go.
Cool.
There we go.
Nice. There we are, so no
one Google's data center is your dark room.
That was
the
line.
That was the company line.
Data
the line.
Center is... Dark
Our
room
data
is
center
your, yeah.
is your dark room.
And I can even have a little slideshow.
And so we get 15 gigabytes free storage, a full-size
50,
size
which is a
15.
15.
Yeah, up from 5.
And it's
combined
was it 50?
It was
15?
I misunderstood.
15,
one
five.
Oh.
Yeah,
1.5.
Because
five.
It's now actually, they combined, Gmail, I think, yesterday.
Did they?
Yeah, they combined a couple accounts into one 15.
One flat 15
gigabyte.
That's
why I don't want to scroll down. There's my son sitting in a beanbag. We didn't really want to show that. Hey!
Protect the private photos. Protect the private photos.
Hey, it could have been a lot worse, let me tell you. Okay, back to Google Plus. So that's all the new features of Google Plus. That's the new Google Photos. And there's the share. That's nice. You reshared.
Very nice.
Yeah. I just did.
Yeah. Okay. Let's take a break. Come back. We're going to talk about maps. There's Larry talking right there. Harry McCracken's picture of Larry on stage. There's nothing life-threatening about his paralysis.
No. Not apparently at all. It's just he got a virus or a cold when he was a kid. He came back out of it, and one vocal cord was partly paralyzed, and then that happened again about a year and a half ago. And that's what happened.
Got it. In case you're just tuning in, we are running a little bit differently on the schedule because we just got back from Google I.O. and our live coverage this morning, which will be on the Twit Specials feed any minute now. Coming up, though, in about 1 hour, Douglas Rushkoff joins us on Triangulation. So that's going to be good. So stick around for that. Our show today brought to you by our friends at Two Cows, the ultimate, remember them? The ultimate collection of Windows software. Elliot Noss, who runs Two Cows, has decided that their job is to find businesses that are run crappily and fix them. We talked about Ting, better cell phone service, hover.com, perfect example. Domain name management done the right way. If you visit hover.com/twig, you'll get an idea of what I mean. Hover believes that it's important that everybody take control of their online identity, and the best way to do that is to have your domain name with your email going to your domain name, and Hover takes all the hassle out of that. Both registering, owning, managing your domains with smart, easy-to-use, friction-free, and powerful domain name management tools. If you go to hover.com/twig, you'll see it's clean, it's simple. There's no upselling, no aggressive cross-selling. There's no extra payments hidden behind the scenes. For instance, when you register a domain name at Hover, you get Whois Privacy as part of the deal. No upsell on that. And by the way, you do want Whois Privacy. They offer all the big names, .com, .net, .org, .tv, Pro, Mobi, Biz, country codes too, like .ca, .asia, .us, .uk. Now, a lot of times you go there and you search for fancypants.com. What are you searching for?
Google.io.com.
Somebody's got it. I don't know who would have that. Wait a minute.
Whoa. What?
It's available.
No, it's misspelled. He missed an L.
Oh, darn it.
Chad's dyslexia serves us every day.
Snapping up domains.
Snapping up Google.io.
Google.
That'll be great someday. Somebody will want Google.io. So one Google-io. Thing. That, Googlyeyes.com is available. That's a premium domain.
Googleio.co.
Googleio.me. But you'll notice that a lot of times the .net is available. If you do, just a little tip, if you're searching for the .com, go for the .net. That's pretty much just as recognizable nowadays as .com and just as good. Hover has great support online and off. When you call, you'll get no hold, no wait, no transfer phone support. During regular business hours, you'll be speaking to a live person, empowered and eager to help. They've got great online help, too, with forums, tutorials, support documentation. They've been around since 1994, and they're one of the largest domain name registrars in the world. So you're dealing with a great company and a great service. I highly recommend it. I transferred all my domains over. They did that for free, by the way. You ask them. Say, Leo said you do the domain name concierge service. Normally, they charge $25. ChadIsDyslexic.com is available. Just $15. Chad, you should book that.
I just bought it.
No. What are you going to do with that?
Redirect it to my normal account?
Yeah, there you go. What was I saying? Oh, I moved all my domains over. Now, that's a $25 fee, but they've been waiving it. So if you just say, hey, Leo on Twit said that you wouldn't charge me to move my domain names over. Now, what they do charge you per domain $10, but you get a whole nother year, plus the Whois Privacy and everything. So it's a very good deal, I think. Hover.com/twig. Give it a try today and use the offer code TWIG, and you'll get 10% off your new domain name. Or names. Register a whole bunch of them and all at once. Thank you, Hover, for your support on This Week in Google. All right, so you're looking at your notes, Gina. What else? We kind of jumped ahead to Google Plus because I think that's important.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Google for Education. This is a new Play Store.
Store initiative, yeah. So it looked like you could buy, they said, you know, one of Google's missions is to get devices into the hands of kids in schools. They said that they talked to teachers, Google talked to teachers, and found out there's a big gap between what's possible and what's practical was the words that they used.
Affordable is probably the right word.
Affordable is probably the right word. But they did a quick demo. It looks like you can easily purchase educational apps. Well, first, they're organized in the Play Store by grade. So they had kindergarten through several grades in. So you could go and see curated collections of apps, which apparently are educational apps that are approved by teachers. And then you can purchase like multiple licenses. So you can say, let me buy 30 copies of this app with one purchase order, say, from an education system, and hit install, and it'll just get pushed down to all the students' tablets or devices, which look really, really, really cool.
I think you can do the same with
YouTube videos
and with books,
and
too.
Books as well.
Somebody pointed out in the chat room, this was Apple, traditionally Apple's realm. Mm-hmm.
Back in the day, right?
Yeah.
I guess they still do education.
I guess they do. You know, my experiences with our high school that my kids went to, actually Henry's a senior, he's still there. And they have what they call a one-to-one program. As you enter in a freshman year, you get a laptop. And for years, it's been a MacBook. Mm. And last year, there was no discount on MacBooks for the school. They talked to a rep. The rep said, all right, grudgingly gave them a discount. Now they're buying Lenovo Windows laptops.
Ooh.
And I know that was my reaction.
I know you're going to recommend
Chromebook
Pixels, yes.
Well, I'm thinking not Pixels, but maybe Chromebooks are the right way to go.
They really are.
With tablets.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things the school worries about is kids playing games and chatting and doing stuff.
You can control it.
You can control it.
But the other, you know, we saw Sundar Pichai up there, now in charge of both Chrome and Android, not to go off here. But it really, that's where the education thing is, where it struck me that it's a shame that here you have Google pushing this Play Store for Android apps. What if your class is all on Chromebooks?
Yeah.
You don't have that same, you know, they ought to be able to go cross-platform for apps too. And they're not there yet. That's a problem.
Yeah, there's a tension, and they kind of took it head on. They said, we've got two huge open platforms that we're working on right now, you know? And they kind of switched back between Chrome and Android. And I agree, a Chromebook would be a perfect device for a student, right? But what they demoed were Android Play apps.
Yes.
They're talking about tablets, and the images they were showing are really cute kids holding tablets. Right, exactly. But, you know, it was interesting in the end, during the Q&A, Larry Page did say, developers should not have to think about what platform they're developing for.
I think cross-platform is going to be a
big story. Write once, run anywhere. You should
big
not have
story.
To
somebody
that.
Asked
yeah,
whether
yeah.
Chrome was the platform in the sense that Chrome also runs on Android, but it's not
right,
there.
But that was someone from Mozilla.
Exactly.
Linux is the platform. Linux is the platform, really, in Java.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though cross-platform, and I saw this in the gaming point part, to the point where it's iOS included as well. And I'm interested in that. I think Google has a foothold in iOS.
There were a lot of iOS releases. Hangouts got released on iOS, right? They talked about how Google Now got released on iOS. There was one slide where it was the Android robot and the Apple right up there together.
Yeah.
The cross platformness of Hangouts was one of the a big part of the story.
Yeah.
You shouldn't have to think about what client your friends are using to send them a message.
And that's a good story compared to Apple's Messages, which is iOS only.
Absolutely.
BBM, which will someday be iOS and Android. They've announced that.
This is part of Larry's interoperability speech that he gave at the end. I mean, clearly this is something that's important to him, that's on his mind.
Rightly so, because who cares? Larry said you shouldn't have to think about what operating system you're using. Why is that relevant?
Right, why should developers have to care about this?
Shouldn't care.
Yeah.
Developers or users.
It's as primitive as hunting your food down, Leo. Slingshotting that rabbit.
I tried to hunt that cup of coffee, but it ran
it was
away.
Faster than you.
It was faster than me. So education, I think, the smart place for them to be. Yeah. We'll see what they
Very
do with
smart.
That. Let's talk
Get
about games.
Young.
They've got a game
young.
Center that looks a lot like, in some ways, Apple's Game Center, in some ways, like Xbox Live, the ability to run servers that start games that others can join.
The fact that you can, across devices, hold on to your status.
And yes, cloud state.
Love,
yeah, game state and a player progression. Yeah,
God,
you can start on your phone and grab leaderboards.
That's all Game Center stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Apple
mm-hmm.
Game Center stuff.
That's also for iOS and web and Android. So we heard iOS, web, Android for a couple times. Multiplayer, then the multi-screen game that we had a little
that
bit
was
of
weird. The slot car game, they lined up a variety of different screen sizes, one next to each other, and the slot car track somehow magically went across all of the devices.
Each person playing on a device with their car. So I had the green car, you had the red
so
car.
So weird.
But I don't see the use for it.
No.
Yeah, that seemed more like just about a demo. But the demo fail was the multiplayer racing game, which popped, and unfortunately, Google Play Services has stopped Dialogue Box, the FC, the dreaded FC, the force close, which every Android developer knows and hates. And the whole room just went like, But speaking of Google Play Services, did you guys catch that Google Play Services is actually going to get updated directly through Google? So Google Play Services is the thing that developers hook into to integrate Google services in their apps. And they made the point to say, Google updates this. We push out directly to everyone, no matter what Android.
So the versioning doesn't become a problem way.
So this is one way that they're targeting, that they're trying to take care of the fragmentation issue. They're pushing services out to all installs versus.
And Larry had, Sundar had an interview in Wired. 2 days ago, and he acknowledged that the fragmentation of Android is a problem, and they're dealing with it. So they know this is an issue. So this is one way they can tackle part of it.
Yeah, is it the services layer?
I like cross-platform logins, cross-platform notifications, or cross-device notifications.
So if you swipe a notification away on your phone, it also you don't have to swipe it again away on your tablet. Yeah. That's awesome. Sync notifications is great.
But this also pushes the idea that they want you to operate with multiple devices.
Yeah, you might as well.
And once again, I will come back to I have a Chrome device. The same notification should be there.
Right.
The same ability should be here on the Chrome Pixel as there are on my Android devices.
Yeah, it's a multi-screen world. This should is one be. Of the first things that Sundar said when he came out on stage. He had a Pebble watch on, by the way.
I noticed
that. And I thought, maybe we're going to get a watch. But no, it was a Pebble watch. And
everyone on stage, I saw some people in chat room.
Did they all have Pebbles?
They all had big watches on.
They all had big watches.
Big square watches. So I think I leaned over Gina at one point and said,
do you think? Do you think, maybe? I thought maybe it'd be the one more thing. But it's okay.
Let's see, what else? There's so many. 900 million Android activations in 2013. Is that a big number? He said there's still, what is it, 6 billion to go?
But you have Facebook as supposedly at a billion.
900 million Android devices.
900 million Android devices now. That's
pretty good.
So next year is going to be the 1 billion.
It's the billion.
Well, next year it'll be blowing.
48 billion app installs, 2.5 in the last month alone.
But here's the big problem. And my son Jake and I were talking about this on email as the thing was going on. The number of apps is a huge problem. There's no discovery structure. And you know, like I go in and I don't play games. And it's going to be nothing but games. And that doesn't work very well. And the weird thing is that I think that they tackled the discovery issue in music before they're tackling it in apps. So it'll now try to be very personalized to me and recommend music to me and show me all kinds of ways to get to music and show me lots of paths to it. And they're not doing that in the app side, which is very strange.
Mm. It would be nice to say what IRC client are my friends using on Android.
Exactly. All the things that they're doing in music, they should be doing on apps. And that's where you're directly supporting the developers. That's where you're going to support the quality of the ecosystem by getting better apps to rise and better apps to be found. If I knew you were operating on an app, then that would matter to me.
Yeah.
Leo, on the other hand, I don't know.
Well, I'm using this new Pixel. What do you think? I really like it.
I know you wanted the coffee to go that way.
No, actually, I like it. Let's talk about, since you're a developer, and that was one of the things they showed. I liked it when they geek out. A new IDE.
And they led with this, right?
Yeah,
this is
right at the top.
New Android
the first
tools.
Video was geeky.
Yeah. Oh, the history of the web.
That was a great video.
Yeah.
I get into that. I'm a sucker
for those
videos.
I really enjoy it.
I do love those videos.
So what is IntelliJ? Because that's what they're basing this on.
Yeah, so this
I'm familiar with Eclipse, which is kind of the free, easy-to-use, easy-to-download
Android development tool. Yeah, Eclipse is an integrated development environment, which means that there's built-in debugging and previews and kind of WYSIWYG tools. Make it easy, not just a text editor, a way to write code and an environment that's smart about the code that you're writing. Right. So right now the standard for developing on Android is Eclipse with an Android plugin.
Eclipse is a free Java-based open source app.
Yes, Eclipse is an open source IDE that is cross-platform. It works very well for Java. I believe it was built originally for Java, but there are plugins to support Python and PHP. I think it actually might be. You're right. I think you're right. It was written in Java itself.
IntelliJ? Is that a commercial?
IntelliJ is also open source. It is also an IDE, similar to Eclipse, but they announced today Android Studio, which will be based in IntelliJ, but it's a very smart kind of Android development environment on top of IntelliJ. So they're moving from Eclipse to IntelliJ, which is a big move. And I got to tell you, I like Eclipse. I grew up in Eclipse. But seeing some of what they showed today on screen with IntelliJ, I was really, really kind of excited.
Automatically filling in the resources. So if you have a string, it will pull the string from a resource file and show you what that's going to look like?
Show you what the string, right. So when you do localization, every single string, you know, even like, you know, the okay, you know, okay on a button, that's represented by a variable, right? Because when you have localization, that variable can be depending on what your language. So for example, if you reference that string in your code, it will show you what the string reads in your language. Similarly, every single drawable, every single image resource, for example, is also referenced through a variable. So in this IntelliJ setup, those icons and those images show up preview in line with your code, which is really, really awesome. The other thing I absolutely love, they had this beautiful live preview layout. So like, as you're composing your app layouts and your screens, it will show you, what do we have? Six devices up there. So the big screen, the tablet 7-inch layout, the 10-inch layout, the phone layout. So that way you can see what's my layout going to look like on these devices. And this live update. So if I say, hey, you know what, make this text 26 SP, you know, they showed the demo, it would, you know, live update as you type, and it would kind of show how big it would look. And then you could see it in different languages. So, the German translation wraps when this text is a little larger. So what do I want to do about that? But that's extremely good. This is a great development environment. Gives you instant feedback and shows you what you're doing as you're doing it without having to compile and build and launch the simulator. And so this is what this is. I'm really excited about this. This looks like available to download right now, and it's killing me that I can't install it on this Pixel.
And on the chat room, they're reminding us about the alpha beta rollouts.
Oh yeah, so this is a bunch of improvements in the Android Developer Console, which is the web-based console like that you upload your Android apps to. There's several things here: beta testing and stage rollout. So if I build an Android app, I can say, okay, I want to release a beta to a limited number of users and consumers. I can do that now,
which is out of either Google Groups or Google Plus Circles.
Google Groups or Google Plus Circles. This is very similar to what TestFlight does. I've used TestFlight to do this. Talk about getting Sherlocked. A few other things. Things like revenue graphs. You can see right now it's ridiculously difficult to see like how much money did my app make on what day, what's my total. So they're showing much better revenue statistics. I actually use an app called App Annie to do that now. So App Annie also kind of got Sherlocked today.
IntelliJ is not cheap. It's $6.99 for commercial license. It's $4.99 for a standalone license. It's $199 for a personal license.
Well, the irony is,
are they going to give this away?
It's open source. It's Apache. License. Oh, that's interesting. So they've got to be giving away for it. They're not going to make developers. There's a free community.
There is a free community version.
Yeah, and
you can download.
The irony, of course, is you can't use it on the Pixel.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I would love to install it here, but I can't use it on the Pixel.
It's an app.
So it's available for Mac, Windows, and Linux. Well, I could install Linux here and run it.
I could see doing the app development in the cloud, couldn't you?
No.
As much as you could video.
You can't do as much as video. In the cloud.
With Android development, it's Java, so you want to have an IDE that's aware of the classes and the functions that are available and that can do debugging. With Java, you compile to bytecode and then run. Like it's not.
I got all that. I understood every syllable of it.
I'm not saying that it's not possible. It would be a little complicated.
All right.
last thing, app translation service built right into the developer console. So,
very cool.
So the developer console will say, hey, you know what? You've got a bunch of Russian users. You've got a bunch of users in Spain, but you're not translated. Your app isn't translated to this language. Do you want to buy a translation? How much was it? Was it like?
It's a marketplace.
It's a marketplace
so that you can find multiple translators, see how they're rated,
and
see what they charge.
Not computer
they're humans.
But
remember how proud Facebook was, rightfully so, of putting in the tools that enabled the community themselves to translate Facebook, and now that structure is being extended to be able to translate anything. And also very important, one map they showed at the beginning of the screen was in green around the world, all the countries where Android was less than 10% penetration. And it says large, large chunks of the world. And so part of Google's bigger master plan is to take over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of translation.
Languages.
And in a world where we care about diversity within a country or worldwide diversity, to be able to get more people in more languages doing things together online is a good thing.
This is the map that Vic showed of... The green is places where Android is less than 10% penetration. So these are markets like Greenland.
They're going to get Greenland, I think. They can give away 10 phones. They got it.
That Google really could get into and could really help them. Notice Chile is the one country in South America that is a big Android
user. Where is that, Panama, then I assume?
In Central America there? Yeah, I guess that's Panama, sure. Australia. But most of South America, most of Central America, all of Africa, and much of Asia, including China, of course, and India. Some big markets out there.
Yeah.
And translation's a pain. It's a pain in the rear. I use a service right now called Crowdin where people can submit translations and other translators can approve and or offer suggestions. And it's not easy. So this makes it sound
it's a cost, but you have a marketplace, and that's going to limit the cost and get more applications.
So what's unclear about this Android Studios is, and Aaron Newcomb was talking about this in our coverage of the keynote, is it a fork of IntelliJ? Is it are they going to contribute back to IntelliJ? What is the relationship to the IntelliJ IDE?
I got the feel. I thought that it's a layer on top. So with Eclipse, so it's Eclipse Plus an ADT plugin. This is Android Studio is a new Android development environment based on IntelliJ.
They're working with JetBrains, apparently, according to JBR in our chat room.
Okay.
Actually, in the JetBrains blog, they say they talk a little bit about it. So it's a fork. It is free. Is not a fork.
It's not a fork. It's a
That's
layer
what I'm getting
top.
From the chat room. That I so I just you
I
take
hope
that
it's
with
not a fork. That would make me sad.
Salt on your fork.
it's not clear from the documentation here.
Okay, so but I think an important move because the development tools have to look polished, and you're competing against iOS where they have very polished free
Xcode
development
is,
tools.
Xcode is very nice. It is.
Let's see. What else here? Oh, I guess we should talk about music. Let's take a break. And when we do, we'll come back and talk about the music. And the Google phone, the pure experience that awaits you. Not what you thought it would be. God, there were rumors like there was going to be this flexible display. And the rumor mill went crazy on this one. And it's nothing like that. Our show today brought to you by LegalZoom.com. If you've been waiting for the perfect time to start your business, you couldn't find a better time than right now, right? But can I point out there are a few steps you ought to take? Even I, in my infinite ignorance, formed an LLC when I started Twit and trademarked, thank goodness, the name and the logo. And I did all that for very little money, not with a law firm, but with LegalZoom.com. $99 to incorporate your business or form an LLC. Just $99. And it's a simple process. You walk through a questionnaire on the website. You got to do it to protect yourself legally. But you don't have to spend a lot of money on a white shoe attorney. Is that still a phrase people use? No. Just pretend I didn't say that.
It's okay, Gramps.
He's playing golf all the time, and I can't get a hold of him.
When was the last time you saw white shoes?
No, you're right. People don't wear them anymore.
My mother tried to make me wear them. She insisted that you had to wear, with a blazer in the summer, you had to wear white shoes and
after Memorial Day, before Labor Day, but never.
And I would not allow them on me.
Yeah. Get a white belt to go with it and maybe some baby blue pants.
She wanted that. She wanted that. Yep. Wouldn't do it.
Look good. You'd be sharp looking. Let's bring it back.
I wanted to wear a Nehru jacket instead.
Yeah. You were a hipster and an ascot.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. Live back to LegalZoom. But do you have a will? You better make a will. If you've got kids, you don't want the courts or the government to decide what happens to your kids, to your assets. $69 for a LegalZoom will or a living trust. In the last 12 years, over 2 million Americans have used LegalZoom to do their paperwork. You don't need an attorney. But one of the nice things about LegalZoom, their legal plan now, they've negotiated flat rate fees with attorneys in most states. So if you have questions or you need advice, you can actually talk to an attorney. They've got profiles online, unedited reviews, so you really get a sense of who's right for you and your business. LegalZoom.com, not a law firm, self-help services at your specific direction. Or you can speak to a legal plan attorney and get your questions answered and get an ongoing advice. To receive a special thank you for using LegalZoom through Twig, we invite you to use the offer code TWIG when you check out, and you'll get $10 back. Just a little thank you for letting them know you heard about it here. LegalZoom.com. That was the one rumor that that came true was the Spotify-like Google Music service.
Subscription service.
We had heard that they'd made deals with two. Who is that?
Just white shoes on a
that's
Google,
those are
Google
sneakers.
Search for hipsters.
Those are sneakers. So what you got to search for is white leather shoes.
White leather
not
shoes?
Not sneakers.
Okay.
Not sneakers. We're talking patent leather.
Yeah.
Shiny white shoes. White bucks. Search for white B-U-C-S.
I don't know if Chaz I... You may not want to search for that.
I don't know. Well, don't I show the screen bad. Until you know.
Yeah, right. No, that was,
I used to work
that
with
pretty
Pat
good.
Boone's granddaughter. There they are.
Really?
Yeah.
There you go. Yep.
He made those white bucks famous. They're like hush puppies, only white.
So we're going to be doing this week and yesteryear.
Yeah.
You know, I remember when you had to dial a telephone.
What did that mean, Grandpa? What did that do?
Oh, it's only a matter of time before I'm too old to do this.
So the white bugs are quite sharp,
minutes,
I have to
minutes.
Say.
So I hear you kids have something newer than the Victrola. What do you listen to music on now, Gina?
It's called Google Play Music All Access. It's
so did they do deals with all the record companies? They had three. Yeah,
the big guys plus independents, I think.
All right.
A uniquely Google approach.
So one advantage they have is that many of us have already uploaded all of our music to Google or done the music recognition thing.
Yep.
Right? I've got 24,000 tracks.
Yeah, me too. I just there. Like just sent the whole library up
and
there.
And it's great because I could stream it and all of that. So that is going to supplement if they don't, because he kept saying millions. Now, most of these services now are talking about about 8 million tracks, something like that. So Spotify and Moog and RDO and Rhapsody, they all have about 8 million tracks. So I don't know if they've got them all or not, but because you have your own music.
You have your own music, and then you can listen to stream music. It blends your own
plus,
library.
Plus, it also adds a social end as well, obviously, which is necessary.
And this is a couple of times they've said this, a recommendation engine. They really talked about recommendation.
Yeah.
Recommendation is something hard to do. It's never really worked right. Netflix hasn't got it right, even though they've had the Netflix Prize for a while and really had some smart people working on this. Amazon's recommendations are terrible. They recommend stuff you already bought.
Yeah, yeah.
So has Google licked this? Because if somebody can figure out recommendations, that's huge.
I mean, it sounds like Pandora, right? I mean, the Google's approach, right? Like, hey, I want to listen to the song. I really like this song right now. And then Google Music, apparently, I haven't tried this yet, assembles a playlist. And then you can kind of flip through the playlist. You can say, yeah, I don't want this, and swipe it away.
So when I used to go to the record store, there was a nice young guy. You'd tell him, hey, I really like that T-Rex band. You got anything else like that? And he'd say, oh, if you love T-Rex,
you'll love this.
You know, you'll love this.
Because you only had 10 albums out a week, so it wasn't hard to keep track of them.
But and it worked, I mean, by the way. Humans work. One thing Pandora does is they have this music genome project.
This is really important. Well, no, that turns out, from what I understand.
That's bogus.
That's bogus. They don't really do that.
It's Tim Westgren's
they tried to make it work. It didn't work.
But here's the first business.
Here's a really fascinating thing in the music announcement. Big deal. They have human curators.
See, that's the way to do it.
That's really, pardon me, that's really important.
Very googly.
No, it's not, because they don't do that in news. They don't do the content. So they have people who are going to curate music collections.
Now, we see that kind of thing. Apple does that. They'll have, like, Jay-Z do my playlist and stuff like that.
Right.
I wonder if it's
They're basically hiring music editors. Interesting. That's my impression.
I think this is a hard thing to do computationally. So maybe that's them saying...
But again, I wish.
I mean, if there's anybody who can handle a problem that's hard to do computationally, I think it's Google, right?
Right.
So,
in fact, that's why it's surprising to hear there's humans involved.
Yeah,
at all.
I know.
I thought I would wish they put the same effort they put into music now, put it toward news, put it toward apps, put it toward other areas.
Mm-hmm. So it's available now. You can do it on the web, music.google.com.
It's available now in the U.S. launching today.
When I launched the Google Music app, it had automatically
updated
and it said, if you want to try it free for 30 days, do. It did take my credit card number. It said, as long as you try it free within before June, you'll get $7.99 a month. After June, it'll be $9.99 a month. We didn't say forever.
And this is a Google Wallet purchase. It didn't actually.
It's a wallet purchase. Yeah, it's a wallet purchase. So I'd actually press purchase.
Even
though they won't charge
me
for
a trial.
Yeah.
And in this case, Google sounded to me like two things. One is that it was playing up to Hollywood and the industry. And second is they sounded like a cable company. $7.99 for now, and they don't tell you how long before it's going to go up to $10. And
Before June 30th.
I don't really want to find myself.
You lie down with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. And I think that's the problem. Is they're now in coffee? Well, I'm not. Yeah. I mean, you get in bed with the music industry. Suddenly, these things seem to happen.
So this is the companies where Google does not have the ability to be independent.
Right.
Right now, we've seen two industries where this has happened.
Right.
Right. One is telcos. Two is music. Three is video.
Yeah, YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every time that happens, Google gets squirrely.
Leo's running out of batteries.
I had a battery in here somewhere. I don't know where it is.
Where the heck did I
put it in here
battery?
Somewhere. Battery. So the new phone. There's no Motorola phone. We thought there might be.
No X phone.
There's no X.
No Nexi. No Nexus.
The new
5.
Phone from Google. Thank you, sir. Get ready for this. The Galaxy S4.
Samsung Galaxy S4.
But
there's something a little bit different about
it. It's pure. No more touch whiz.
Yeah, they said check out the home screen. And it looked like he was showing his Galaxy S4. Fresh, and everyone in the, and there was this like growing like in the audience. Because
there was a rumor they were going to do this. I think this is great. $649 is a little pricey. It's at the 16 gigabyte version. Although I paid for the unlocked 16 gigabyte version, I paid $800.
And this would do LTE, right?
No LTE. Oh, this one does not do LTE.
There's no plug.
This is a T-Mobile AT&T. And I don't. Is it LTE?
Yeah, it is. It's LTE.
Chad wrote LTE, but I don't know. Are you right, Chad?
Yeah, I wrote that down too. Bootloader unlocked. It's the Nexus user experience. Okay. On sale June 26.
LTE on AT&T. T-Mobile LTE is kind of non-existent, but I guess you'd get it.
It says in this slide LTE support.
LTE. Well, that's different than what I got. And that is good. I think that the Nexus user experience on a premium phone.
So should I replace my?
I think
Nexus
you'd like it.
And should Gina replace her Galaxy? Yeah,
I think you would want to because this is more cores. Mm-hmm. It's a nice phone. Yeah. Great screen, 1920x1080. Yeah, now that I can plug it in, I can show you.
Hold it?
Yeah, you can hold it. Yeah, you can hold my phone, lady. Yeah, it's bigger screen. As soon as it boots up, I had to restart it because I took the battery out.
Yeah, I dig the little window, I got to say.
That's not part of the deal. You have to buy that separate,
and
they charge
it
through the
nose
for that. Samsung sells the windowed flip case for, I think, $50 or $60, which is ridiculous. It's a piece of plastic. Thicker, heavier. Battery life probably comparable, not because of course you've got a much higher res screen.
My Nexus.
Yeah, you can't pull the battery out of your Nexus, which and you don't have LTE, so probably it is a good upgrade for you. Are you running yours on T-Mobile?
AT&T.
Well, then definitely it's a good upgrade because you'd get LTE.
Mm-hmm. And I bought a Note 2 on eBay that I'll sell, and that'll pay for most of it.
Well, and the Note 3 is coming out and so forth, but I think the screen is gorgeous. Let me launch Google
Very
Plus
nice.
For you. It's a heck of a nice phone, I think.
Are there any of the Samsung apps that you would wish if you had pure?
No, there's not a Samsung app I miss. I have to say, some of the Samsung customizations I like. There are some interesting things in the phone. I mean, the camera. There's some interesting settings capabilities. There's one feature. It would be my pick if we were going to do picks this week. It has a sound adapt feature where you go. It actually does a hearing test on you. You put your headphones in. I know, that's crazy. You put your headphones in, you plug it in, and it says, can you hear this? And it does it in each ear. Can you hear this? Can you hear this? And you press yes or no. And then it makes a curve based on what you were able to hear.
It says you are 49 years old.
Yeah, it could tell how old you are. And then it says, would you like me to apply the adjustment to your calls, to your music, to everything? And I got to tell you, it sounds a lot better to my old ears. Fixes the loss of high end because I'm older. Boosts the bass a little bit. I'll show you my curve if you want to see it. So that's something Samsung added. You know,
big screen, a lot of widgets.
It's crazy with it. There's so much stuff on this phone; it's ridiculous. I didn't even know about this because for the longest time I didn't dig deep enough into the menu. But if I scroll down into Adapt Sound, you can see how different my curve is from the optimal curve. I guess we don't have that shot.
Too many years.
Yeah, we do.
So the
headphones on.
Yeah, this you can see it rolls off the high end, rolls off. Basically, I only hear things in the middle frequency there. But they say after adaptation, that's what it's going to sound like. It's going to be flat.
Wow.
And they also ask what your dominant ear is. So this is a Samsung feature that probably Google won't add.
Because it's very hardware dependent probably, right?
But you're getting the hardware. It's not hardware. It's just TouchWiz.
Obviously, Google's not going to add it to...
They could. Well, it's the same hardware. I guess they could.
Well, they're not going to
But they're
add
not going
to
because
Android.
It's not the Nexus experience. Yes. Right. Although I have to say that they did put some of the camera features that you're seeing... in the late model phones and the new photo features. Things like, they want you to share your Photosphere stuff with Google Maps.
The picture of melding the pictures, everyone smiling,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's a feature that both Android and, the Galaxy S4 and the HTC One have is the best picture feature.
Yeah, that was a moment
I think
where
stock Android's
like
not going to be the same, but, you know.
Yeah. There was a moment there where we're like, this feels a little bit like the Samsung.
Yeah, very much so.
Lots of photo enhancements, camera enhancements.
All right, and let's talk about maps.
Yeah, let's cover maps.
That's how they ended it, and I thought a good way to end it. The new Google Maps in the browser look different as well as on the phone, right? The phone is really going to enhance the mobile experience, so you'll be able to get reviews of the restaurants. You'll be able to create your own custom maps, I guess. I'm not sure. How is the mobile different? Are you launching it now? Is it downloaded?
I haven't upgraded.
Here's the new desktop version of Google
Maps.
In
the desktop, there's no menus on the side. All the information is on the
very,
maps.
When I heard
about that,
clean.
I thought it was going to be awful, but it's not. If you search for Starbucks, Leo,
yeah,
you'll find, well, you got to go through this again. But you'll find that.
This is the little tour. This is going to be a long tour.
And I couldn't click on it.
Try searching for Sushi Boston.
I don't want to.
I don't really. Can I?
VX.
Here, let's get out of that. And I'll search for Starbucks. So this is the search box here.
Or something better, Italian restaurants, maybe.
Italian, okay. Actually, there's a really cool feature, and I'm surprised that they didn't use the voice.
Well, it won't matter because you're typing to Google.
I know. Google's great for people like me and, what's his name? did you mean Italian restaurants? Yes, I did. So now it's filling in here.
Places from top reviewers or your circles?
Ah, which should I do? My top reviewers or my circles? I bet you, because I live in Petaluma, nobody in my circles is... Yeah, it's going to back
it's
way
like
out.
It backs away. It's like, oh,
yeah,
we
well,
got
maybe
something.
There's somewhere down there. In
UCBC?
Yeah. Actually, we like UCBC. There you go. And then I could say top reviewers. Let's search in there. So this is nice. And they said we're going to a 5-star scale. Does that mean they're eliminating the Zagat 30-point scale? I wasn't clear about that. Zagat, of course, a purchase. And you can, in some of these cases, I can just zoom right in. In fact, there's the street view.
And then if the place has, oh, go look for Twit, because it's going to go right inside.
Will it?
That's what they said.
Ooh, I should look for new media broadcast entities. What should I? Maybe just search for Twit. We'll make it easy.
Yeah.
Oh, how does this pixel work?
The same way any damn computer does. How do you work?
Not well, apparently. WIT is right here. Italian. What if there were Italian Twits? Okay. Now, there it is. Now, there's the street view.
Some way I forget how I
no, I think 10 pictures.
Click street view
inside,
right there.
See inside the middle one.
See inside?
Middle one.
And then we just go whoop, and we go right in there. Isn't that?
Right,
and it's really a pretty display now. I mean, it's really a gorgeous, oh, nice. Gorgeous display. I think they've done a very nice job here.
There are a couple of API upgrades as well to Maps. Virtual fences around locations?
Geofencing.
Yeah, geofencing.
I think that's so important for being able to do things like local news, events at stadiums.
And walking into a store so they know
you're
in the
store. Yeah, your grocery store, get some milk.
Yeah.
Activity recognition, so the API can tell you whether or not you're walking, biking, or driving.
Yep.
Which is awesome for something like Glass, for example, which should basically silence everything except nav while you're driving, for example. What else? Oh, and they just said that this Fuse location provider apparently getting location for apps is faster and more accurate and uses less of your power.
What is Fuse? Is that a company?
Fuse
is multiple location providers into one?
Yeah, into one. And so it gets
offers
you
in mobile. You've got offers.
Mm-hmm.
What I really liked is the transit. Now, there's a standard for transit information, but some cities are blocking this now because they want to run their own transit app. They want you to buy the Philadelphia Transit app
That's terrible, by the way. That shouldn't be. That should be against
the law. That is our information.
Public data.
This must be open. We've got to fight for this.
It's civic data. It should be. You should get Code for America on the case.
Yep.
And I have to say what Google's doing with transit information, showing you the buses, showing you the timeline. All
Which
of this
route
is fantastic.
Yeah, it shows you the route versus driving, what the time is going to be, and then it also shows you for a given route, the whole schedule, like some of the airline stuff is now, if you want to go to blank.
That's fabulous.
It's really quite nice.
They're architecting slowly. You kind of feel the pieces all kind of fitting in together. They're getting information now from your photos, putting them in maps. They're getting social signals, putting them in recommendations.
Right.
You can start to see the painting kind of fill in. They also, new Google Maps.
Zoom out. Take Petaluma now and zoom out all the way.
Because that's when I'm going to see.
That's when you're going to see the Earth.
The Earth. All right. Let's. It says thank you, thank you.
There's an X up on the right.
We're excited. Keep your eye for an invite. I already got the invite. I don't want an invite. If I just do maps.google.com.
/preview.
Let's see.
I'm getting redirected now.
You are?
Since I opted in.
Just your general maps is right?
Maps.google.com.
This is the image that... I don't want to see that.
Your cookies.
So let's do maps. Pardon us, ladies and gentlemen, while Leo Fumfer's around. Okay, so this is the new one. Right. So now how do I zoom out? I pinch?
I think maybe minus, minus.
Yeah, look. Yeah. Pinching. Pinching works. Let's see how much California, I can pinch. California, I got the U.S. America, I got that. You mean I can go beyond this? No, I can't.
No. Switch to...
satellite?
Yeah. That.
Now let's try it.
Is it not the Google Earth?
Do I need a plug-in?
There's no minus. Well, maybe never mind.
Never mind. It looks so easy when he did it. All right, just one little pinch. That's all it takes. Just a pinch between cheek and gum. Not a thing.
There's this new Explore UI as well.
I like the Explore thing.
Yeah. Yeah, so
I can just kind of click on pictures and stuff.
Areas, like, I guess, of note around.
And if you end up going to the Sistine Chapel, they showed pictures of being able to walk through the Sistine Chapel all from users' photos.
Yeah, user.
And again,
right,
they now recognize the better photos and they enhance them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So as long as you made them public.
Well, that's the question. What do I have to get permission to do that? I mean,
wow. Oh, if you're inside a.
Wow. The 3D is really spec. So This is the map's 3D rendering, right?
And these, I think, are photos from consumers.
Yeah, I think this is user-generated.
So this is kind of like Microsoft's Photosynth.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Wow. Exactly.
Wow, this is so I'm going around the...
running in light
I'm in Florence, and this is the cathedral.
Well, this says this is light. 3D Earth view is not available on your screen.
Oh, so this is just pictures, photos. Yeah. Wow, very nice.
Very nice. Very, very nice.
What else?
We didn't
talk
about
search. You're looking at the rundown. Oh, now, I think this is the most exciting thing, but we don't have it yet, right? You have to be participating in the beta search. The spoken word search. Now, on Glass, when you tap your temple, Gina, right, you say, OK, Glass.
Right.
Now, on search, you say, OK, Google.
OK, Google.
Now, I don't know if that was a canned search. It didn't feel like it. That was mind-boggling.
She said... We're in a network hostile environment. This might not work. And it worked absolutely perfectly. So she was nervous. This is Johanna Wright, I believe, who's, a product director on Google Search.
They had launched it that morning.
She said they launched it this morning. I don't know if this is going to work. It completely worked. And
oh, my God. It was amazing.
She said, how tall
do you have to be to ride the Giant Dipper?
Yeah.
I mean, now we're seeing HAL 9000 style. Yes. Artificial intelligence.
Well, right, and it was a series of queries.
Natural
so she said,
speech.
Yeah, how do I get to Santa Cruz?
Well, no, it was even more than that.
She
searched for Santa Cruz, and then she said, how far is it from here?
How far is it from
here? It had to know it and here.
It was contextual.
Mm-hmm. It was contextual, right?
There was a big theory around context in Google.
Yeah,
also in the maps, if there's some little driveway going in that has no name, if you click on that place, it will now fill in all the streets you need to know to get there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was
context
really
matters
cool.
a lot.
Yeah. When is my flight leave?
And Brian in our chat room says I'm in the beta and it does work that well.
Wow.
Tell us
how you get into the beta. What is it you signed up for?
Yeah, I didn't realize.
Well, we'll just have to sign up for it somehow.
Yeah.
They mentioned like if you opted into the Gmail field trial where you let the Google search results look at your Gmail inbox, it would see your, for instance, flight reservation. So when she said, when does my flight leave? And it said, you leave on Wednesday the 12th, it knew because it was looking at her Gmail inbox. And people who have opted in the field trial,
I'm in that field trial as well, so we'll have to see.
When I got to the airport, it said, hey, you know, your flight's leaving, you should be leaving now. I got all that in Google Now because I was in that field trial. So she was showing that. And there's a new voice action for Google Now, which is reminders, right?
So is your, okay, this is going to terrify people. Is your microphone always on?
No, I believe that she tapped the microphone button.
No. That was on the phone. On the computer.
She just talked to
it. They call it hot words.
Hot words.
People listen for certain words.
Okay, Google. Okay, Google. Okay, Google.
I'm waiting. I tweeted this. I'm going to wait for, okay, Google, get me a date.
Peacock. Peacock. Okay, Google. No, apparently I'm not in that.
Hot words is not enabled.
We're sitting here. This is a Louis C.K. moment. We're sitting here. We watched this movie when I was a kid in the theaters called 2001 A Space Odyssey. And the guy's talking to the computer. He's talking back. I kept waiting for that moment. It just happened, folks. And we're sitting there going, well, I don't know if I want that microphone to be.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know if I like that. You're talking to the computer, and it's answering your questions. It's amazing.
It is amazing.
It's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Nobody's happy.
Nobody's happy.
Negativity is that we don't invent the future through being negative.
You know who shouldn't be happy is Apple, because this kicks Siri's butt.
Siri did seppuku today.
Kicks Siri's butt. I mean, seriously. Okay, I'm sorry.
I think we saw Siri on 101 coming up here on the side of the road.
Yeah.
Roadkill.
Wow. I mean, I can't wait. Don't you want to be in that?
Yes. Yeah. I do think you have to tap the mic to start your speaker search. Much like with Glass, you have to tap.
You know, and the Macintosh has voice dictation, and you tap the function key twice to turn it on.
To turn it on, right? Because the mic's not going to always be open. That doesn't make sense.
It doesn't need to be. Maybe that's a feature, though. I wouldn't mind being able to turn that on.
Just having the mic on.
Yeah, why not?
Well, speaking of, did you?
I wanted to talk to me.
Did you notice these little cards?
Yeah, when we picked up our Pixels, there were these things. I'm collecting data here.
So Google at I.O.
these things.
There are these cards with Arduino boards mounted to them with sensors that, and these cards say, I'm collecting data here, which is really ironic when you're at a Google conference. Aren't you just, of course, Google is collecting
all
data.
All the time.
500 sensor motes and over 4,000 data streams continuously monitoring temperature, humidity, pressure, light, air quality, motion, and both RF and audio noise levels all through the Moscone Center at I.O. because they want to get a sense of what areas of the conference were
you haven't
most
shared
traffic,
that picture, have
most
you?
Popular.
So if you want to do, on, you can write a simple app to find out which group has the most body heat.
I shared it on Twitter. Is that are you disappointed?
Well, I went to your Google Plus.
I know,
I thought, for sure.
So these were all throughout. This is where we picked up our Pixels, but they're all throughout the Moscone. So I thought it was cool.
What is that all about? What are they doing, you think?
They're just, this is Google Analytics for the conference. This is Meetspace Google Analytics. They're trying to see which areas of the conference are people are most interested in.
They're trying to get people into sensor data and doing all that.
They want to know which areas are most humid?
Which ones are noisier, got
it's just whatever sensors exist, what could you possibly learn? You could learn that more people are in this space.
Here it is, Chad. I don't know if you can see that. I'm collecting data here.
As Larry said, your phone is soon going to have all those sensors. And who knows what you can do with that.
The GS4 has a humidity sensor. Yep. It has temperature. In fact, the GS4 will tell me what...
Does it give you your humidity track, Leo?
I don't have to wear a Fitbit anymore because it's tracking my steps. Mm-hmm. It also says that there's a comfort quotient. It's very interesting what's going on. Well, I mean, this is basically the same as that Arduino.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think it's funny. I think Google just needs to have the sign everywhere. I'm collecting data here. No matter what and whenever you interact with Google, it should say that.
Oh, that's my phone turning on. I don't think it's charging from this. It might need more draw than the Pixel can handle.
Oh, jeez. Charges mine, just mine.
Anything else? There was so much. I don't want to miss anything. We're almost done here.
I think we covered search. We covered maps.
That search thing was the thing that blew my mind.
Yeah, the search thing was really cool.
So I feel like we're really watching the future unfold in front of us. It's very exciting.
It is.
Yeah.
Very exciting. We're not doing numbers and tips?
Let's do numbers and tips. Do you have a...
I'm completely unprepared for that.
I'm completely unprepared as well.
So then in that case,
I'll
give you a number.
Why don't you give us a number?
Google stock closed today at 907.07. Up 19 points. $20.
19 bucks. Wow.
Apple down 15 bucks.
Ooh.
Facebook down 24 cents.
Yeah. Adobe didn't get hurt, but their price had already been hit a little bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I think that the stock market knows something. Mm-hmm. I think that's pretty accurate.
We're afraid for Foursquare with the Maps release?
Yeah, who got Sherlocked? Foursquare did, perhaps?
Maybe. God, I like those guys so much. But
They moved away from gamification, which I think might have been a mistake
maybe.
But this is,
They call themselves the location layer of the net.
Yeah,
is very close to what Google's doing, right? Did you see if you clicked on a venue, like if you clicked on a museum, it would light up other museums that were similar around the area, right?
If you asked for restaurants, it would give you a social layer that would tell you what restaurants
your friends
have done, like, which is like, what Foursquare could set your...
I like that concept of my maps. Like you could say, I really like this restaurant. This is a place which is on my map, and I measure things by how close it is to that. It sounds an awful lot like Foursquare.
Yeah. What else? What else? Who else got Sherlocked today? Not Adobe. I think a lot of this is aimed square at Facebook. Doesn't mean it's going to hurt Facebook.
No.
But I think Google really wants to be an alternative for Facebook users.
Well, Pandora. Did Pandora and Spotify get?
Maybe.
Or not?
Pandora, maybe. Spotify, maybe.
What does Spotify cost?
$10. Everything's $10. Everybody's $10. That's the standard, across the board. Do you think that this will be enough to get people to move back to Google Plus? Do you think this, you know, Google's not giving up on Google Plus, and they continue to add features. The community's features was a great addition. The new look is great. Photos is great.
Anything itself. I think that, for example, the fact that you can use Google Plus circles for Gina's beta, she's going to want friends to be on there so they can be beta testers on her apps.
Right.
Right. Right.
It's those little things that get you going there.
Plus isn't a product, it's the backbone right. of all the other products. It's the social layer, right? Even if, I think you have to not think about plus.google.com. You have to think about Plus as Android app reviews, as, you know, gaming invitations, as beta testing invitations, as comments on blogs or whatever.
And as people you actually enjoy talking with, which is what happens with me. I have a better conversation there. I'm still frustrated as hell. Google! That...
we needed a Jeff rant.
Yeah. That I cannot get... I had to sign on with the Google Gmail account. That's what my Plus account still is. Everything else in my life is my apps account.
Right.
And a friend of mine, Rex Hammack, switched over, and he lost a lot on the way.
He did. And you know, Glass doesn't work with apps accounts either.
They got to solve that problem.
This is a real problem. They really
have.
Yeah, and they will. It's on the roadmap. I just think it's a secondary. It's a secondary rollout.
Yeah, it's a hashtag. You know, rich geeks problem.
Waze might be in a little bit of trouble.
Waze, yes.
There were rumors that Google was looking to buy Waze for $1 billion.
No, Facebook was looking to buy
it. Not Google, Facebook. Yes. And now I understand why. Maybe this was a defensive move. If they had known that Maps was going to start including not only traffic information.
Or they had insider information.
Incidents reports, and reroute around
reroute
incidents.
Reroute is the important thing. I got addicted to Waze. I had to go to a meeting
a few weeks ago.
And boy, it was wondrous taking me around.
But if you're
really
already using
great.
Google Navigation, it does the same thing you might
The thing I don't
instead.
Know, does Google also listen to signals on the phone of where the traffic is? How is it getting where the traffic is data?
You know, maybe my memory is mistaken, sure. But I think I saw him say you can also report incidents. That there was a report feature, which is how Waze works.
Well, but no, Waze really works from watching your phone and how fast it's going on the road.
It knows the speed, but it wants you to report
if you see
roadkill, a cop, an accident, all of that
Google
stuff.
Google Maps has never done that. Navigation has never done that.
But I'm wondering if that's new.
Yeah.
And we learned that Larry Page is a burner.
Yeah, well, that harkens back to when they founded Google. Didn't they put off a big release and they're like the first year
to go to Burning Man?
They were going to Burning Man, yeah.
Awesome.
You know, we didn't talk about WebP and H.264.
This is kind of an odd thing. They're pushing a new, and we've talked about this before, a new photographic standard to replace PNG primarily called WebP. Facebook used it, but it's pissing people off because only Chrome and Opera can see it. And worse, if you right-click and download the image, none of your photo tools can open it because it's an unknown codec.
But that's going
to
fix it.
Maybe, but PNG is open. It's not like it's trying to replace some proprietary standard. There is an open standard that has alpha channels. It is.
Right.
And
it was 31% less data. Fine, but that doesn't really matter to us.
It matters maybe to Facebook, but you know what? In the long run, if end users don't want it, it's not going to happen.
Well, it matters on your mobile phone, right? It matters when you got a small pipe and a battery that's dying.
Maybe.
And
then this new V9 video standard, there's been a lot of back and forth on this. I don't know how this is going to stand. It's ultimately going to come down to if the folks at Firefox, along with the other browsers, allow a HTML5 style video tag and then support that codec in it.
YouTube's
so far, they
support
haven't.
It, so YouTube will support it. Right? I mean, if YouTube supports it, it's going
to
happen.
Only when they kill Flash. They'll have to support it exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
And then... That's going to be interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Somebody said you should also mention the new Google Hangouts.
Oh, we didn't really
it's a
talk
new
about
app.
Hangouts.
We didn't
talk
really
about
that either.
About
we mentioned group chatting. It's on the phone. It's free.
They didn't really make a big deal about it being this unified messaging service.
Is this Babel? Is this what we thought Babel was going to be?
I think so.
This is the Babel rollout.
There was no like, hey, this is going to replace this or that. Although when you install the app on your phone, it says... Hangouts replaces Talk.
Right. But it hasn't yet.
So they haven't made a big deal about the fact that it's sort of going to replace all these other things. But Hangouts available on the web, which you saw it on Plus earlier, or you see it up on Leo's screen now, and iOS and Android today, sync notifications, which we talked about. But that was it, really. Oh, they talked about the history, right? So it maintains your history of conversations over time.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah,
permanently.
That's very, very important, right? Because the conversations don't just go off.
I do like
them.
That.
Yes, I like
that's
that
important.
A lot too, right? Because I mean, I've got chat logs from years ago, different programs. Who knows how to? And they're not connected to contacts.
Lisa and I use an app called Couple, where we kind of can do romantic chat back and forth, and that's permanent. And this would effectively be that, where you'd have a ongoing conversation. You can go right. back, hey, what were we talking about 6 months ago or a year ago?
Right.
With images and everything
with images
else.
And
I think
everything.
That's great.
Yeah, which is nice.
I think that there's some real value to that.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody in the chat room just said we should probably mention that Google TV wasn't mentioned.
Nope.
No.
Nor was the
Q. I guess, no. But you know, there are announcements that happen in developer sessions, right? Like, not all the announcements happen in the keynote. I mean, right. major announcements happen.
Well, in fact, keynote. Somebody said, and I don't know, I haven't confirmed this, but somebody in the chat room said they've announced that YouTube Live is now available to any channel with more than, I think, 1,000 subscribers, which we would qualify for. So we'll investigate that.
I thought Aaron said the Google TV made an announcement actually on their Plus
Scooter
page.
X says Google TV got an update today. I don't know how much of an update. And, oh, what they didn't mention is Android 4.3. No, not a word.
Not yeah,
in
not
fact,
a word.
They did say, and this is the only word, that the Galaxy S4 with pure Google experience will be 4.2.
That's
and that's
right.
next month.
That's right. But you know what? With all the cool tools that the developers got, I wasn't even that disappointed.
I was I don't
mind. I got a new idea.
In fact, maybe it's even better.
Maybe
let's stick
better.
With 4.2 for a little longer.
I think that they're just pushing developers. They want developers to make their apps tabloid. Tablet. Whoa. Too much gawker. tabloid ready, too. I don't know.
I don't think they need 4.3. I mean, let's sit in 4.2 for a little while. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn good. And this will solve this issue of people feeling left behind because, you know, frankly, this phone is going to be behind and a lot of other phones are going to be behind because the carriers don't want the updates. So
just a few more. There was also the wallet Instant Buy API where everybody's still trying to become the Instant Buy. And they listed 22 steps to do any buy. And they said that 98 or 97% of all shopping carts on mobile are abandoned.
Are abandoned,
because
yeah.
Because it's too much of a pain. So they're trying to make that easier.
Exactly. What? I have to fill something in? Okay, see ya. I believe that.
I believe that,
yep,
too.
Totally believe that. All right. I think you had a number.
I'm
we
done.
Don't have
we're
anything.
Done.
I think
nothing.
We're done.
I think,
I'm better than
done.
You are. I did my homework. You didn't do
download
yours.
All the new stuff. That's my tip.
That's good stuff. Thank you, everybody, for putting up with us almost as long as the keynote. Normally, we do This Week in Google on Wednesdays, 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern time. That's 2000 UTC on twit.tv. We do love it when you watch live, as you see. We use the chat room an awful lot. But if you can't, please download a after-the-fact VOD version, video or audio, AOD on demand, at twit.tv/twig, or subscribe. Any Android podcast client will do it. So we'll whatever you use on your desktop, iTunes or the Zune Marketplace, we're there. Just search for Twig. I'm really glad that you guys could come up.
This was awesome.
Yeah,
it's
so nice
great.
To have you
three
here.
Three pixels in a row.
Yeah.
Wow. That's the last time that's going to happen. Ever.
My goodness. Yeah. This is never going to happen again.
No. It's not going to happen
the,
again.
What is the Easter egg you do? Is up down left right? What is the one to make this cycle?
Or if you just shut it, it'll do it.
No, but it does this special thing. So what is the Nintendo code? Say it out loud. Up, up, down, down, left, right, left, right. And then possibly B-A.
Oh, there you go.
Ooh,
that's a light show.
Now I like the pixel. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time on Twig.